Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Adia Talks podcast. My name is Mo Adia. I am your host on this podcast, where we are all about helping you be the best version of yourself and live your life as God intended. We have yet another great episode today, so I want you to stay tuned, grab a notebook, a pen, a drink, and let us chat about what is on the agenda today. Hello, people. Welcome to this episode of the Adia Talks podcast. First episode in series two. I was going to say series three. I don't know why. But anyway, series two, or season two, rather, of the Adia Talks podcast. My name is Mo Adia. Hope you are good. Hope you are well. Hope everything's wonderful with you. I'm so glad you stopped by today. If you are new to this podcast, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you are a returnee, welcome again. I love you all. Thank you. Welcome to the family, the Adia Talks community family. I am your host on here, Mo Adia. Probably said that already. So today we have an interesting episode for you. We are back with a bang, and we have new episodes every Tuesday. So look forward to them. So this is the first in our season two. Today we are going to be talking about something quite interesting and timely, in my opinion. It's something the Lord had laid on my heart probably quite a few weeks ago, and I pondered on it. Actually, I would say it came from something I was watching and listening to, and it sort of triggered my thoughts around that, and it sort of made sense with, things that the Lord had led me to read in terms of scripture. Apologies for the dog barking outside. I don't know whose dog that is, but please ignore that distraction. So anyway, we are going to talk about today. Today we're going to be talking about preserving the knowledge of Christ. Preserving the knowledge of Christ. And what does that really mean when we say preserving the knowledge of Christ? If I want to think about it, before we actually delve into what the meaning of that statement is, I would sort of backtrack and evaluate, where we are in the grand scheme of things. If you are, maybe if you're a new believer, maybe you this is kind of new to you, but definitely it's worth us just, exploring where we are in the in line with what scripture has and what the word of God says concerning the times. I love the scripture that talks about the sons of Issachar being, I'm paraphrasing, but they were wise, or they were, good stewards of the word of God, because they understood the times and seasons, and they knew at the time, they were in the nation of Israel, they knew what Israel ought to do. So for me, it's one thing I'm very, very, particular about, or I'm very, it's something I pursue to understand our times, the times and seasons. In fact, I didn't actually appreciate I did that until a really good friend said to me that is kind of something that is unique in terms of that she's seen in me, maybe compared to a few others around her. But that's something I'm all about. Understanding the time and season. And I believe that's one of the best things a Christian can do for themselves. And not that you do it for yourself, because the Lord helps you, but to desire to understand the times and seasons, right? Because that helps you in every, that sort of sets the tone for what you need to do, what the Lord will have you do, what he's saying in a specific season, etc. So understanding the times and seasons is very critical for me as a believer, for believers. I believe it's, one of the most important things. And when I talk about the times and seasons, I think about it in sort of three phases. I understand it to be my personal time and season. Lord, what is the time and season you would have me being. Like, you know, is this a season for growth? Is this a season for, investing in something? Is this a season for, going on the mountain, as some people say, you know, maybe being shut away and fasting and praying? What is this a season for? Is this a season to launch out into the deep, to launch that idea, to enlarge? You know, what is the season for me personally? Then what is the season, you know, for the body of Christ, as a whole? So what is the Lord doing with the body, with the kingdom? What is the season for the kingdom? What is the general posture that the kingdom should be adopting, or the you know, I just use interchangeably, the kingdom, the body of Christ, the church. Now, I don't get into the differences between all right now, but what is the season for the Lord's people, essentially? What should they be doing, right? And then what is the season for, actually, I'll say four steps, right? What is the season for the nation in which I'm dwelling in, or you're dwelling in, or the nation that maybe the Lord has said, this is the nation you should intercede for or keep watch about? What is actually going on in that nation? What is the season? What is the spiritual climate and atmosphere? And what is that atmosphere bringing in terms of seasons, right? Because atmospheres affect seasons, right? You know, think about rain, think about nature and how that works. Then what is the time and season for the world in general, just for everything going on, right? Because things can be happening in the world, but the Lord's people are in a different, like, you know, let's just take an example. There might be suffering or things going on in the world, but the Lord is saying, I'm protecting my people. So you might see all these things going on outside, but once you abide under the shadow of the Almighty, there's a different narrative, if you like, or a different thing going on with the Lord's people. So they play off each other in a sense, but there is also a time and season for the world in general, like what is happening across the world, right? Because that is known to the Lord, right? So the Lord knows everything. He sets the tone, right? So what is this time and season for the world, and what is happening, and, you know, what's the, you know, kingdom of darkness doing, all these things, right? So, you know, they're those kind of four layers to times and seasons. So it is critical as Christians we understand our time and season. That's the foundation I'm setting, which I'm taking a little longer than I intended to, but it's important you get this, right? So it's important to know what time and season we are in those four, you know, categories or dimensions, if you like, that I mentioned, right? So understand that. Obviously, the personal time and season is personal to you, but everything is always, in a sense, interlinked or interlocked. So that's kind of, you know, how it is, right? So when we think about preserving the knowledge of Christ, now, I relate that very much to the time and season we are living in and why it is important. It's almost like this is the precursor to what is to come, in a sense, and this is the precursor to preparing ourselves for seasons ahead. It might not be the next or the next, but, you know, what is to come, right? A scripture that the Lord had really laid on my heart, maybe 3 months ago, some point during this whole, you know, global detention/lockdown, was the scripture Matthew 24, which I won't read the entire thing because it's pretty long, but I encourage you to read it, you know, get a sense of, you know, what's going on, ask the Lord to reveal things to you. But it's a scripture in a sense that just talks about, you know, what is to, you know, what will be going on in terms of wars, in terms of rumors of war, in terms of, you know, earthquakes, natural disasters, birth pains, etc., right? Now, where we are in all of that, we're probably somewhere in the mix, in the mix of what's going on. I don't believe that everything on there has come to pass necessarily. But the bit that got me, which we're starting to see quite a bit of, is Matthew 24 in verses 12. And it's the second part of that, you know, which is the thing, right? So I'll read the whole thing. It says, sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. The love of many will grow cold. That's the key thing. The love of many will grow cold. And that means, in a sense, if you look at it, right, the love of many, as in the love people had for the word of God, the love, you know, when we talk about love in the Bible, right? Love is, God is love, right? So, you know, God, so in a sense, people's desire for God will grow cold. You know, people will turn away from the true word of God, right? People will do, there'll be all sorts of things going on. And in as much as there's a season of revival and there's, you know, there's all of that going on and we're excited about the revival, there's also the sort of flip side of things where you're seeing the love of many growing cold, you know, and there's all sorts of other things that this scripture, along with many other scriptures, talk about what people would be doing, you know, being lovers of themselves, etc., etc., all of that, right? So when we think about preserving the knowledge of Christ, what can prevent the love of that statement, the love of many will grow cold. We don't want to be caught up in the many that the love, our love grows cold, because we want to be, we are people that are on fire for God. I mean, I'm speaking, I'm desiring that for you as you're listening, but you know, I desire God. I want to grow more in him. I want to, you know, live out the way he wants me to live out. I want to know him more, all these things. So I don't count myself in that love of many growing cold by his grace, thank God. But you know, the love of many grows cold when there's something that triggers that point where the love grows cold, right? So think about lukewarm and, you know, what the Bible says about being lukewarm. Now, I think I wrote this in a blog I did pretty recently, but you know, the sort of the revelation the Lord was giving, or which I've definitely had before, right? So when you're on hot, when you're hot, you're really, really hot, right? You're when you have hot water, hot water doesn't get lukewarm just like instantly, right? Hot water gets lukewarm by being left not being kept hot. So after a while, you know, it's not maintained, that intensity of the heat isn't maintained, is no longer, you know, boiling or being kept in something that keeps it hot. So it starts to grow, you know, lukewarm and then cold. And then what happens as well is that hot water also gets lukewarm when cold water, you know, is poured into it, like cooler water, call it room temperature or whatever. So let's just imagine cold water being poured into a bowl of hot water. That's where you get lukewarm. And what happens is it tends to be a gradual thing, in the sense of, if I think of how people's love grows cold, it's never really an instance they were on fire for God, or someone's on fire for God and they woke up the next morning and like, boom, they were lukewarm. It is literally a very gradual thing that is so unnoticeable. And what happens is, like, you know, let's just say teaspoons, you know, let's just say, okay, imagine, let's get away from, regardless of whether the water is kept hot or not and the technicalities, right? But let's just say you have hot water, a bowl of hot water, right? And I pour 1 teaspoon of cold water in it. It would still be relatively hot, for, you know, and then another teaspoon, you know, begins to decrease over time. And then it gets lukewarm, and then it gets cold eventually, or cooler, right? So it's a gradual process that tends to happen when people's love grows cold. So how do we, the basically preserving the knowledge of Christ is what keeps us from growing cold. Because when we start either mixing, and this is what my article was about, actually my blog, probably from like a month and a bit ago, when mixture happens, right, when you start mixing the word, the true word of God, with other things, or other, just to suit, you know, I don't know, a lifestyle or comfort, or just to follow, keep up with the Joneses, or maybe you don't even know the truth, and there's a mixture that starts, it starts to like cool, you know, it starts to cool down that heat that was there. So what was formerly hot water now starts to gradually get cooler, and then it becomes lukewarm, right? And that's what happens, and then it just gets cold over time. And as I say, those things tend to not happen very obvious overnight. It's a very gradual thing in most cases. So the preserving the knowledge of Christ is what will prevent us from having this situation where the love grows cold. We don't want to be in that camp where we say that my love grew cold, my love for God, my love for the things of God grew cold, and I just blended in with this cold world. We don't want to be in that camp. So our love needs to remain on fire for God, needs to keep burning. And how do we do that? We do that by preserving the knowledge of Christ. Now, you could also say that, you know, in these days, it doesn't seem as easy sometimes to be a Christian or to be accepted as a Christian, because you just, you know, people may, you know, call it in some ways a persecution, you know, may persecute one, or may, you know, it may not just seem cool, or it may not just, you know, all of that. But we are not of the world. We are in it, but we're not of the world. So that's not something we should be striving for. Like we should use that as a measure of, you know, our success, or a measure of our lives, basically. Those things will happen. People would not always accept. People would, you know, criticize, have comments, whatever. That's why we need to continue to walk with God to even navigate through those situations. So preserving the knowledge of Christ is even when you find yourself in those situations where it's just like you're thinking, gosh, you know, it doesn't seem like I'm accepted, or something's happening here coming against my beliefs. You need to preserve the knowledge of Christ, because that's what will get you through, right? That's what will keep you going. Preserving that knowledge. So when something is coming against you, or even when the enemy throws something in your face, or something is just, you know, really, really, maybe you feel like you're undergoing some sort of attack, it's the knowledge of Christ, it's that word of God within you that will battle through that. So preserving the knowledge of Christ is so important. You see, that there's so many agendas, and there's so many things as well that eventually want to take away certain things that are, you know, in line with our beliefs, and want to introduce all sorts of other things and all of that. But we will need to kind of continue to live, but the way we live is by preserving the knowledge of Christ, by preserving the true knowledge and the true word of God, by knowing who Christ is, what he's spoken about us, what he said, what he's declared, who he said we are, who we are in him, by knowing the knowledge of him, coming into the full knowledge of him. I hope that all makes sense so far. It will take me, if I wanted to really, really talk about it some more, because I am learning a lot in this season, I think it will take me a lot longer. But, you know, I just wanted to come and just really remind us about preserving the knowledge of Christ, because that is so, you know, paramount in this season, that we preserve the knowledge of Christ and understand who we are in him, who he is, what he said, declare his word, take a stand. Because if we don't know that, things and the factors around us and the conditions and the circumstances, quote unquote, will have us, you know, think something different, will have us accept something that is not the standard of God, will have us, you know, not understand who we are. It will have us compromise. It will have us, you know, be found in questionable situations, you know. So we need to preserve the knowledge of Christ. We need to hold that onto that, because it is even becoming, in a sense, there's a scripture in Amos that talks about the word being scarce. And in a sense, you know, it is, as I said, it's sometimes become scarce, of like, you don't see, you know, maybe something, I don't have an example that comes to mind right now, but something used to be a certain way before, and it no longer is like that. And, you know, I don't know, let me just use this example, it just came to my mind. I don't know, Songs of Praise used to be on TV before, no, that I used to watch it, you know, but that was something that used to go out to the nation. And, you know, even people who didn't, even if they didn't go to church, they watched it, you know, it sort of ministered to them, probably without them knowing, right? So that's no longer on TV now. Now, I don't know why that's no longer on TV, but that's like a little example of things that just used to be around to allow the faith to just, you know, freely just be available to people, but is no longer there. And it's stuff that, you know, the media, you know, I don't want to get derailed, but not derailed. I don't want to digress. But yes, things like that is just an example of, you know, something where used to be there, but it's not there anymore. And that's how things gradually happen. And if we don't preserve the knowledge of Christ, if we don't let the word continue to dwell in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, if we don't continue to meditate on the word, if we don't continue to, you know, declare the word of God and pray and all those things we're meant to do. If we don't continue to do that, we will actually grow cold without us knowing. So Christianity is not following, being a true disciple. I don't want to get, it's not religious, right? I'm saying being a true disciple of Christ is a proactive situation. It's not passive. You can't, if you're passive, you would just grow cold without even realizing it. So we need to actively preserve the knowledge of Christ. How do we preserve the knowledge of Christ, you might ask? I was asking myself the same thing as well. How do we preserve the knowledge of Christ? We do so really by, I mean, the basic thing is really by allowing the word to dwell in us, dwell in our hearts. I mean, the basic things we're meant to do, right? But I think first and foremost is our intimacy with the Lord, is actually knowing the Lord, fellowshipping with the word of God, with Jesus. He's the word of God, right? Fellowshipping with him and getting to know him more and more, and just, you know, growing in that deep relationship with him is first and foremost the, you know, how and one example where we can say we preserve the knowledge of Christ. Another wonderful great example is obviously prayer, that great thing called fasting. You know, all of that is how, again, we preserve the knowledge of Christ. We are fellowshipping with the word through prayer. We are declaring God's word. We are allowing his word to minister to us. We're doing all those things where we're coming up higher with him as we move in prayer. Like, prayer is so key and so essential. The different sorts of prayers, we'll probably talk about it in another episode. You know, we also do that by allowing our faith to rise, you know, taking faith, bold faith steps. Our I don't say religion, but basically our Christianity really is one of faith, right? So you can't be a Christian and not go on a faith walk. Like, that's just, or choose not to have faith reside in your life, right? The foundation of our relationship with Jesus is faith. Like, our salvation is based on faith. We receive the Lord through faith, right? By grace through faith. What are the other ways we preserve the knowledge of Christ? By really intentionally being very intentional. As I've said, it's not a passive relationship. It's an active relationship. Being intentional with, you know, how you interact with the word. We talked about how you speak, making sure you're speaking the word of God, and you're speaking what God will have you speak, not what you just want to speak. But also being intentional by the company you keep, by, you know, what you're allowing go in your ears, your what you're seeing, you know, all of that, what you're interacting with, even from a social perspective, and, you know, the people you have around you. It is paramount. You know, your ear gates, your eye gates, they play a role. Previous episodes we've spoken about things like that as well. So those are some things I just wanted to leave you with. I don't want to be on here too long, but I just wanted to make sure that was highlighted. And actually, on the last point that I just mentioned about your ear and eye gates, you know, if we know and notice, the media tends to be very they sort of desensitize us to a lot of things. So things that were previously like just plain unacceptable for whatever reason, suddenly is acceptable, and it becomes a gradual process, similar to that growing cold or growing lukewarm scenario. Like, you know, they'll show you bits of it, tiny bits, and then before you know it, it's like, how did we get to this point where this was completely acceptable? But that's because over time you were desensitized, or people were desensitized to it. It's interesting, there's quite a debate going, not a debate, but there's, you know, something that's come out on Netflix, which is really inappropriate in terms of the way children are portrayed. But, you know, how did that get to the point of even being acceptable by all the people who work at the organization, by even the people involved in it from top to tail? You know, the director, the everything. I just can't fathom in my brain, the parents of the children, like everything. How did that get acceptable? That's through things just being desensitized over time and certain things being acceptable in society. So what I want to leave you with is preserve the knowledge of Christ. That's something that is an active thing to do. When you preserve something, you know, when you say, I'm going to use salt to preserve my meat or something, you actually put the salt on the meat. You can't just wish the salt on the meat or just, you know, think it's unexpected to happen. To preserve is actually an action word, right? So preserve the knowledge of Christ, actively pursue the knowledge of Christ, actively preserve the knowledge of Christ as well. So I'm going to leave you with that. I want you to spend some time pondering. I really want this to be where the Lord ministers to you what that actually means even more. And I would love to hear from you on what you, what you've learned from it, what you took away when the Lord ministered to you, what more he gave you specifically. So please do feel free to reach out to us on our social networks. You would hear all of that coming up soon. Drop us an email, leave a comment, let us know how this blessed you. But I encourage you to preserve the knowledge of Christ and stay blessed. Till we meet again next week, take care and God bless you. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode blessed you. If so, why not share it with a friend or two or three or four, and make sure you subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to. Feel free to also comment, share some feedback, etc. You can also follow us on social media. We're on all the major platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. On Instagram, we are Idea Talks Community. Everywhere else, we are Idea Talks. You can also head to our website, ideatalks.com. We have some great resources on there, again, about helping you just live your best life. So I encourage you to check that out. We have amazing things on there, so many wonderful things to come. Join our mailing list, etc. Take care and God bless you.